Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
I am a former pastor.
Okay.
I bet you thought I was going to say something else.
I didn't know where you were going with that.
Yeah, I thought you were going to think I was saying I am a church member. I am a former pastor, and as I've mentioned on more than one occasion, the world is better because I'm former instead of present. There's so many reasons for that.
This is Former Pastor Week on Rainer on Leadership.
Is it?
Yeah, because today we're talking about this topic, and then we're doing the opposite on Friday.
Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to both of them, Jonathan, and I'm always grateful and looking forward to our interaction with Vanderbloom and Search Group.
Yep, they help you not be a former pastor.
There you go. Or they help you to be a current pastor.
Yeah. There you go. Vanderbloom and Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vanderbloom and Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
All right. So we are going to be talking about what former pastors miss most about pastoring. Maybe I can offer some of my own personal comments because I don't miss as much as other former pastors.
There are probably some things you do miss.
Here will be a theological question, and this could engender a bit of debate. Is the call to pastor a lifetime call?
It depends.
Then it's not necessarily a lifetime call. When I went from the pastorate to be a dean, was I abdicating the call of God?
No.
During that time?
I'll say this. The call to be a Christian is a call to minister, and that works its way out in different ways in different people at different times.
But you know that within some segments, not only of our denomination, but others, there is a very, very specific theology related to pastoral call. And it's kind of like once called, always called, or something like that. So there may be theological questions. By the way, what is your hat?
It's a Tennessee logo.
Tennessee.
Like the state.
The state of Tennessee. Well, I knew
the
it
three stars.
I knew it wanted
the tri-star logo.
Tennessee Vols. I've never seen you with that hat before. Is it new?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's Preds colors.
All right.
My Preds hat.
It's like purple and gold?
That's navy blue and gold.
Navy blue and gold. Okay.
We need to get your eyes checked.
Back to what former pastors miss about pastoring. I may interject some of my own comments, but basically to our listeners, I think I'm irrelevant in this because I'm an outlier in this in so many ways.
Well, some of this you can get from just being an active church member in your church.
Oh, that's true.
So, I mean, maybe not number one, but that's preaching to the same people.
Yeah. There is a certain fulfillment, if you are a true shepherd, of preaching to the same people week after week. I remember a seminary class I had. It was one of my first semesters. I took a January term, and then I took the spring term of, 1983. Now, how old were you in 83?
At that time, in January, I was 2. I would turn 3 later in the year, but yeah.
It just tells you something. And I was a second career seminarian because I had been in the banking world. So I'm really old. I'm taking this class, and it was called Formation for Christian Ministry. I never knew what it was all about, but everybody had to take a formation class. So I formed during that
time. You formated?
I formated. And it was 2 hours instead of 3, which meant it wasn't quite as important as the others, but we had to have it. I didn't quite understand what this formated class was, our formation class was. But I remember the pastor, the professor, Dr. Jackson, saying this, anybody can preach one good sermon. But try to preach to the same people week after week after week and see how you do. Well, there's some people that are incredibly gifted at it. I love bragging on my 2 sons who are pastors because they seem to get better as they preach to the same people.
I saw a tweet by Jess the other day.
Yeah?
And he was talking about looking over some of the notes from his first sermons that he preached. And he was like, what was I thinking?
Yes.
I think a lot of pastors probably have that. They look at some of the stuff they did on the front end. And I go back and listen to some of the episodes of Rainer on Leadership. You know, we're at 506 now, and I go back and listen to the, number 6. A little different than now.
Wow. Were we more formal?
No, I don't know. I mean, it's just different feel.
The chemistry had not quite evolved where it is today. Huh. I might go back.
Still feeling it out.
I might go back and listen to that one too.
But yeah, I would hope that you get better and better as you do it more and more. That's typically how things work. The more you do something, the better you get at it.
Almost every Sunday afternoon, I get a call from my two pastor sons. The weekday calls are from my middle son, Art. But Sunday afternoons, Sam wants to just share with me what happened at church. And Jess wants my opinion, since I am there, on how I thought everything went. And ultimately, he gets to the sermon. And this is the typical way it happens. Nellie Jo and I are usually on our way to lunch. Service gets over about 11:15, and he's usually calling around noon, and we're either about to enter the restaurant or we're on our way or leaving. And so I turn on the speakerphone in the car, and he asked me a few questions, and then he said, "Well, how do you think my sermon was?" I can't even get a word out.
Because Nellie Jo's, that's wonderful.
It was incredible. It was so great. And she just goes on and on and on. And then he says, "Dad?"
Kind of put you on the spot there.
Well, no. It didn't bother me at all. I'm happy to interject. And here's the thing about it. The more he has preached to his same sheep, his congregation, the better he has gotten. Some of it is experiential, but some of it is just learning your people, just knowing them. And you don't get that. Like, I don't preach on weekends hardly at all anymore. I made a commitment a little over 2 years ago to be a good church member, and my conviction was I needed to just stay at my church. And so for the most part, I've been declining invitations. I can't even remember the last time I had a invitation that I accepted other than son Sam. And so I get to listen to Jess. I get to listen to him preach to the same people again and again and again. But even if I wanted to do preaching on weekends, I couldn't do that because, I mean, you've heard me preach a lot of sermons, and you know that I usually end up in the Minor Prophets somewhere. So I'm not preaching to the same group. I'm preaching to or the Book of Acts, or, you know, on occasion, 1 Corinthians. You know that I am just preaching. I hope is not just a typical rerun sermon, but it is something that I preached before, because I don't have to have that consistency. You can miss the discipline of preparing a sermon and the joy of preaching to a group again and again.
Seeing the results and the life change of that.
Exactly.
All right. Well, and speaking of that, watching life transformation.
Yeah. All right. You pastors, what happens after the sermon? Let's say sometimes you have a formal time to greet people. That used to be kind of traditional. You stand.
Your favorite part of the service?
Well, not the meet and greet.
Oh.
I'm talking about after the service over and standing.
Standing in the vestibule.
Yeah, in the vestibule. Wow, you are getting traditional. All right, just stand at the door and shaking hands with people.
See, I appreciate that the pastors do that.
You do?
The ones that still do that, I do.
Why?
I just think it's nice.
Well, from my perspective, Pastor, when I do it. From what my perspective is forcing church members to shake my hand and tell me it was a good sermon.
Exactly.
good sermon. And then some of them that don't really know how to address it said, "Good talk." You know, yeah. it's always fascinating. So no, I'm not a big fan of that. But
here, let me just say, I'm a fan of the pastor being accessible after the sermon.
Okay, got that. Both Sam and Jess are highly accessible, but they're not standing at a door greeting people.
I'm not a fan of the one that finishes and then is like gone and you can't find it.
Okay.
That's what I was saying.
I'm with you on that. So pastors, people are coming up to you after the sermon, and what do they say? Well, maybe they'll say something about the commode being stopped up, or we need to fix this light bulb or whatever.
You didn't visit me this week when I was in the hospital.
Something that'll grate on you. But most of the time, they're just going to say good sermon, you know, something like that. That's 1 week. But watching a person go from really marginal commitment to the gospel to becoming a force for the gospel, and you know that some of that is the result of your preaching week after week, that is life transformation. And, you know, oftentimes on our other podcast, Revitalize and Replant, we have Mark Clifton. And I wish I could just do his voice again, but he'll say, you know, it's like this. Many of you pastors in these churches will never know on this side of heaven the impact that you have had upon these
Absolutely
people.
Absolutely true.
And you and I probably can think of pastors who have had impacts upon us because we have sat under their preaching, not just their pastoring, but under their preaching as well.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I've been racking my brain for the last couple of minutes while you've been talking that Van brought to Azalea.
Bill.
Bill. Okay.
Bill.
And the life change you saw there. Because Bill went from homeless, being literally drug into the church off the street, literally.
Or dragged.
Dragged.
Yes.
That too.
But he was drugged.
Yeah. Well, both.
He was drugged as he was dragged.
To becoming a deacon in the church.
Yes, he
did.
That's
a huge life change.
Yes.
Well, for some deacons.
Some regrets.
Hey-o.
Some regrets. But it's not just at preaching, though. It's life transformation just in ministry. You counsel this person and you see life transformation. You develop a mentoring relationship with a guy. You see life transformation. That's one of the things that pastors just, you ask a pastor, what do you like most about serving as pastor? And inevitably within the top two is going to be watching lives change.
Yeah.
You know, I can talk about this.
Makes you want to get back into pastor?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't want to do that to the kingdom. Just keep me away.
All right. Number three, relationships. They miss the relationships.
Yeah. Even I like the relationships in a church that are ongoing. And this is one of them as a church member.
Mm-hmm.
That if, you know what really grates me? Inactive church members.
Yes.
I mean, people.
It's come up.
Yeah, people that have made a commitment to a local church, and then their commitment is so marginal that they're hardly there. Good gravy train, folks. If you're going to be a part of a church, make certain that you are giving that your all. That is biblical. And I know some of you are going to debate me, well, we don't need the institutional church. Well, please tell me what those letters were all about in the New Testament. They were written to an organization, a local congregation. Okay, it may not look like a 21st century manifestation of it, but that doesn't matter. It's still the local body of Christ. And one of the things that pastors love is they can develop relationships. Some of them, if you stay long enough, from birth to adolescence, to marriage, to children, and watching that transformation take place. But I like being a part of a local church. I don't. Do you know this? I'm an introvert.
Mm-hmm. It's come up.
No, probably because I don't want to talk about it.
Well, but that nicely played.
But I am an introvert, but I love the relationships I have within my church. You will hear me talk at times about Paul. You'll hear me talk at times about David. And then there's another Paul. We have two Pauls in our community. And most of these, by the way, are in our community group. But there are others. Oh, there's another David. He's not in our community group. We've got a lot of Davids in our church. It's relatively new. But those are relationships. And pastors love, many of those pastors say, what I miss about the church is the ongoing relationships week after week. Talked to Sam last night, and they still have Wednesday night Bible teaching. They don't have Sunday night services, but they have Wednesday night Bible teaching because they have so many Wednesday night activities for children and youth, and he wants something for adults. And he called me last night, and he said, wow, I told our church that I was recommitting to studying even more in depth Wednesday night, and let me tell you what happened. We had quadruple the attendance and the adult study. And, you know, I think that what that meant is it went from about 75 to 200.
Wow.
In the adult
That's
study.
Nice.
Yeah. He said, I'm doing the names of God. And the people just responded enthusiastically. And he I don't know if you saw his tweet or Facebook post, but he talked about how deeply he loves these people. And they were there, and it's just a reminder to him of the relationships that have been developed. And Sam, and I hope I don't hurt him by saying this, but I'm going to say it. As you well know, there have been a lot of churches after Sam.
Yeah.
But one of the reasons that he wants to, when I say after, they want to talk to him about being their pastor, and in every case, larger churches. And he keeps on coming back. Why? I love these people. I absolutely love the relationships that are there. So that's a reason that many former pastors miss pastoring.
Number four is the variety and opportunities for ministry.
Yep. Think about, just think about the old stories I've told. Just the old stories that I've told. I mean, I've told you the story about the man, and this is tragic, but it's still kind of humorous. He got beaten up by his wife when she threw a sofa at him. You know?
Yes. I remember that.
Wait a minute, she threw us stuff, and the police actually coming into the service and pulling me out to tell me that I needed to.
Yes.
To that. That was the same situation.
Were they unclothed in the back of the car?
No.
No.
No. No.
Okay.
No, and it was only one of them in the back of the car.
Yeah, yeah, one of them. Yeah,
yeah, no, no.
Okay,
they were fully clothed. There may be another story there. I'm trying to.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to remember, but it's not the same. Where do you get that kind of variety? I mean, policeman calls you out and said, "Sir, we got one of your church members in the back of the squad car. I need to tell you what's going on. What happened?" Well, she threw herself at her husband. And he's knocked out cold. We had to arrest. I'm sorry. That is not funny. But
well, it's
just,
funny.
20/20 hindsight, everybody's fine, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now looking at it and thinking, my goodness, where do you get? And then just some of the good stories. Someone calling you up. This is a story I remember when I was a pastor. Someone calling me up. I'm thinking it was 11 o'clock at night. These were landlines, by the way. And
what's that?
They have these wires attached to them. And she told me, she said, "I want to tell you, I've become a believer." And, you know, she was in my church and sitting, and I said, "Well, tell me about it." I'm not going to give her name because it is such a different name that it would breach privacy. But she said, "Yep, I was listening to a Billy Graham crusade, and I became a follower." I hung up the phone. I said, "Well, that's great. She's a follower. But now Billy Graham gets all the credit."
Yeah.
Always Billy.
I've been preaching at her for a year and a half. Nothing. Billy Graham shows up on TV one night. And boom.
But at least she called me, the pastor. She didn't call Billy
Graham. That's good. Well, and then just all the fun stories that we've talked about on here.
Yeah, yeah.
The variety. I mean, you know, the baptism story, the funeral story, the hospital gown.
Yeah.
I mean, just those are the greatest hits right there. I'm rolling through them. But
Lifeway put my funeral story online.
That video. I'm going to put the video of that on this page on the show notes.
Yep.
You have to go watch that.
Yep.
It was that video got a ton of views.
Still is.
And people could not believe that was real.
Oh, it was real. It was more real. And this may be a spoiler alert, but I would call the name of this video "Kissing the Corpse."
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
What cracked me up in that is the people who got mad at the funeral guys. They were defending you. I was like, "Come on, guys, this is just a prank." But they were mad. Like some people were really upset in the comments about that, about how they treated and disrespect the body. Which I agree, but I mean, they were fired up.
I don't read a lot of comments these days.
No. Facebook comments, man, that's where sanity goes to die sometimes.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, finally, they miss serving the community.
Yeah, when you are pastor of a local church, you are also a shepherd in the community. You may not be shepherd of the community because there are other pastors and there are other people that that have ministry responsibility, parachurch as well as church, but you are a shepherd in the community. When I look at Sam's tags, it's usually "Love Florida," "Love Westby," mm-hmm. "Love Bradenton." He absolutely loves that community. He loves the idiosyncrasy of Southwest Florida.
Well, Jess named his entire church after his community.
Yes,
the church
true.
At
that's
Spring Hill.
He said, "I want to be the church of this community at this community." So, it's the church at Spring Hill. One of the reasons that the multi-site movement is gaining so much momentum is because they see, these multi-site leaders see the advantage of having churches in the community. Jimmy Scroggins.
Yep.
Family Church.
Mm-hmm. Nine churches, maybe more now.
And they're all South Florida. That's Southeast Florida for the uninitiated, but it's called South Florida, whereas the other coast is called Southwest, and then the other coast is called Panhandle. Three different coasts to remember.
And then I think the Atlantic coast too. That's like the north side.
That's
St. Aug and Jacksonville.
That's true. Yeah. You really get above Jupiter or somewhere like that, and you're
Daytona and up, yeah.
You're on the Atlantic coast. But anyway, He has his multi-site to serve the community, to mm-hmm. be in the neighborhood. It's a series of neighborhood churches.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we saw that with Brentwood, too.
Yes.
It's not Brentwood Baptist Church at, you know, West Franklin. It's West Franklin.
Yep. They name it after the community.
Yeah. Church at Station Hill, West Franklin Baptist Church.
Neighborhood.
What's the new
church
one's name over there in Bellevue?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know. Mike's been texting me. The pastor's been texting me a lot. He's still struggling right now.
Okay.
About
you being there.
No, about the national championship game.
Oh, that, yeah.
Yeah, so he's...
That was just a couple days ago when we were recording
he texted me and said, are you okay? And I said, waiting on the rapture. How about you? And he didn't respond. I don't know.
We missed the rapture.
What's going on?
That means I missed it too.
But These are five big reasons why former pastors say, I really missed serving the local church. And, you know, they look back and they say, I love my pastoring days. But if you want to be able to look ahead and be prepared for these pastoring days, Midwestern Seminary is the place to go.
Yes, absolutely. I'm wearing a Midwestern jacket today. It's cold outside.
Wait, you've got a Tennessee State, the state of Tennessee hat. You got a Church Answers shirt, and you got a Midwestern jacket. You are eclectic.
I'm representing.
You're representing the state, the local, and we'll let Midwestern represent the nations.
There you go. Because you can go to the nations with an MDiv from Midwestern. Their 81-hour MDiv offers a complete foundation for full-time ministry leaders, giving you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and join them there for a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern Seminary is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv. And not just at the graduate level, but their undergraduate level, Dr. Rayner, they just announced recently a new communications degree in Spurgeon College.
Oh, good.
Up there. So I'm a big fan of that. And I think it's like a BA in communications.
Oh, you going to go back and get another undergrad?
No, I'm good. I've got one undergrad and two grads, so good for now.
And maybe a third grad coming up
maybe
in the near future.
We'll see about that.
Okay.
We'll see about that.
Okay. So I'm certainly not going to push.
Yeah. Are you going to go back and get one too?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I need.
Then you can be a paradox.
Oh, gosh. I've had enough. But, yeah, thank you, Midwestern. Thank you, Vanderblumen. And as always, thank you, listeners, for being a part of Rain on Leadership. Here we are at the end of January and moving well into 2019. Stay with us, not only at Rain on Leadership, but at Church Answers as well. We've got some pretty big things and plans coming up, and I think you'll be excited to hear them. Thank you so much.
Before we go today, we want to remind you about another great podcast here on the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. That's the New Churches Q&A podcast. They're part of the podcast network, and they recently have been talking about how to handle multi-level marketers in your church if a non-type A personality can succeed in church planting, and multi-site versus church planting. Just look up New Churches Q&A on your favorite podcasting app and subscribe today. Once again, thanks for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership, a member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Remember, you can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app. And please join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.